Parshas Vayikra. On the very first pasuk in this week's Edra, Vayikra Moshe, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu called to Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem Elov, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him, Me'oihel Moed Lemer. The Medrash on that pasuk says the following, Mikan Omru, it is from here that Chazal said, Kol Talmud Chochem, She'in Boi Da'as, any Talmud Chochem who doesn't have Da'as, and Da'as doesn't mean knowledge. Da'as means Midos, Midos Toivos. The Rambam famously called his halachas that pertain to Midos, Hilchas Deos. So any Talmud Chochem who doesn't have Midos, doesn't have good character attributes, character traits, Kol Talmud Chochem She'in Boi Da'as, Nevela, even a dead animal, a corpse, is better than him. Very interesting comparison. A Talmud Chacham who doesn't have Midas is considered worse than a dead corpse, an animal that's died. Says the Medrash, Teidalachol, the proof is from this pasuk. Look who we're dealing with, says the Medrash. We're dealing with Moshe Rabbeinu, the Avi HaChachma, the father of all wisdom, the Avi HaNaviim, the father of all prophets, who was responsible for taking Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Through him, all the miracles occurred. Kriyas Yamsuf occurred. He went up to Shomayim to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, for 40 days to receive the Torah. And nonetheless, despite all of that, he built the Mishkan as well. But but he did not enter the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, ad shekara loy, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu summoned him. Shenema vayikra el Moshe. So what's the Medrash saying? Moshe Rabbeinu, of such immense stature, you would have thought, could have said to himself, listen, I have free entry to the Mishkan wherever I like. I don't need to be called. I can wander in at will. After all, I was the one who took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim and received the Torah and Kriyas Yamsuf and built the Mishkan. I built this whole place. And yet, Vayikra El Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu had Midos Toivos. He did not enter the Mishkan until HaKadosh Baruch Hu called him in. Once he'd been invited, then he entered, but not a moment before. And of course, the point that hits us in this Medrash is the curious comparison to a Nevela. A Talmud Chacham who doesn't have Midas, so I understand, you tell me he's not really a proper Talmud Chacham, he has a serious blemish, there's something lacking, but why is he compared to a Nevela? What's a Nevela? An animal that died without being shechted. If you shecht an animal, then you can eat it. If it died or got killed without shechting, then it's a Nevela. It cannot be eaten. So what's that got to do with the Talmud Chacham who doesn't have Midas? So the simple understanding is, L'choy the Poshet Pshat and the Ksav Sofer says so, and that is, an animal's function really on this world is to serve man. That's his purpose in creation. If he dies without being shechted, he didn't really reach his tachlis, because he cannot now be consumed by human beings. He can be eaten by a goy, but not by Klal Yisrael. No Jew can eat this animal. So this animal didn't really reach its shleimus, didn't reach its proper tachlis in this world. It fell short. So too, the Talmud Chacham, who doesn't have Midas, also didn't reach his shleimus, because he might well have Torah, but he doesn't have Midas. Derech Eretz, Kodmo La Torah. So if he's lacking, he has a serious blemish, then it means he didn't reach his shleimus, just like the animal who died without being shechted, who didn't reach his completion, his tachlis either. But the problem is that the Medrash doesn't say that the Talmud Chacham without Midos is like an Avela. He says he's worse off than an Avela. The Medrash says, Afilu Nevela Toivo Heimenu, the Nevela is better off than the Talmud Chacham. So it can't just be that a Talmud Chacham didn't reach his Shleimus, Just like an Avela didn't reach his Shleimus, because then you could equate them. But the Medrash clearly is not equating them. The Medrash is telling you, in fact, the Talmud Chacham is worse off than the Avela. So it's interesting. I saw in the name of the Noda Behuda, the Noda Behuda says a very powerful point. He says, if you have an animal that dies without shechting, cannot be eaten, is untouched, and eventually will begin to give off a foul smell, and everybody will stay well clear of this animal. You don't have anything to do with this rotting carcass. A Talmud Chacham who doesn't have middos can trick people into thinking that he's a person who's worthwhile getting close to. And they won't know, like in the case of the Nevela, that you better stay well clear. At least the Nevela gives off the bad smell. The Talmud Chacham who doesn't have middos doesn't necessarily give off that bad smell in the same way. So what will people think? Oh, this fellow, he's well versed, he knows his Gemara, he knows his Shas, he knows his Shulchan Aruch. This is a person worth getting close to. And in fact, therefore, it's more dangerous. Because he's a dangerous man. He isn't the Shalim. He isn't the complete person that the Torah wanted. And that's what the Medrash means when the Medrash says that the Nevela, in fact, is better off than this Talmud Chacham. At least the Nevela people know to avoid. The Talmud Chacham not. I'm just reminding myself, I was once in Rav Kornfeld's house a while ago, and there was sitting at his table a Talmud Chacham, clearly a Talmud Chacham, no question about it, but unfortunately it was as clear that he didn't have Midas Toivus, I'm sorry to say. He's very arrogant and kept on talking about himself and wasn't polite to other people, and yet he was a Talmud Chacham, there's no shaila about it. But it was overwhelmingly obvious that here was a Talmud Chacham Shein Boi Das. Shein Boi Das. And to me it was very troubling. So I discussed this with Rav Kornfeld afterwards. I went to him that afternoon and I said, listen, here you see somebody, an older person, clearly a Talmud Chacham. You don't expect a Talmud Chacham to talk like that, to behave like that, to conduct himself with others like that. That's not the way. So how can that be? A person who spent his whole life in Torah, you would have expected for him to be, in Yiddish we say, ausgeedelt, to be refined. The Torah refines. What happened to him? So he said to me, quite sharp, he said, I've got two answers for you. One answer is, can you imagine what he would have been like had he not learned Torah? That was his first answer. And his second answer, which was very important, he said, quoting G'dolei Mashgichim and Balei Musa, he said, that's what happens to a Talmud Chacham who learns Torah and doesn't learn Musa. Musa is not some sort of religious ritual limited to just the elite. Musa, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, was Meyasid, and really Rishonim, and really the Torah was Meyasid. It's part of Torah. Derech Eretz, as we said, Kodma LaTorah. The study of Musa and the way it studied, maybe that was Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's Chiddush, the way it got incorporated into the yeshivas, etc., etc., etc. But the study of Musa itself was not Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's Chiddush. And he said, if a Talmud Chacham learns, he can become a Talmud Chacham maybe. But the fact that you see clearly that he hasn't got Midas Tevis is a direct result of not having spent time, not invested learning Musa. A very powerful thought. I'll call upon him. That's the Noda Behuda's pshat. The reason why the Nevela is actually better off than the Talmud Chacham is at least people will avoid the Nevela. They won't avoid the Talmud Chacham because they might be dazzled and very impressed with his knowledge of Torah and they'll get close to him. That's dangerous. Others explain that this poor old Nevela, it's not his fault that he died without Shechita or he got killed. Not his fault. Nobody's going to think worse of him for having died without Shechita. But the Talmud Chacham who doesn't have Midas, like the Nevela, it's true, didn't reach his Shleimus, but that was his own doing. That really was his fault. That's a Chilul Hashem. It's not a Chilul Hashem for the animal that died without shechita, he cannot be held accountable for that. But the Talmud Chacham who doesn't have midas is to be held accountable. That's why he's worse off than the Nevela. But maybe you can suggest perhaps a different pshat. What's the halacha of a Nevela? The halacha is, as we know, every live animal cannot be eaten. Asidoi Raisa, the first one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, Eva Menachai, we cannot eat a live animal. In fact, even a goy can't eat a live animal. Are you allowed to benefit from a live animal? Of course. We plow with a cow, with an ox. We're allowed to use a live animal, which means that a live animal is osur ba'achila, cannot be eaten, but is mutter ba'hano, perfectly permissible to have benefit from. What happens when an animal is shechted? What changes? Well, it's still mutter to have hana from. You can have benefit from this animal, you can use its skin, its hide, you can sell it. But of course, the big change is that it now becomes mutter ba'achila as well. You can eat it as well. What about a nevela? An animal that died with no shechita at all, that cannot be eaten, completely out of bounds for any member of Klal Yisrael. But you're allowed to have benefit from it. Mefurash pasuk in the Torah, a nevela can be sold to a goy, for example. You can have benefit from it. So what's the difference between a live animal and an animal that died without shechita? Nothing really. It was osa ba'achila before, and it's still osa to eat. It was muta to have hana, and it's still muta to have hana. So there's no change. It would have been muta ba'achila, but unfortunately it died prior to being shechted. So at least it didn't go down in Madrega, it just remained static. What about a Talmud Chacham who doesn't have midas? Listen to this, Rabbeinu Yoina in Ovis. Rabbeinu Yoina in Ovis says on the Mishnah, Ein derech eretz, ein Torah. If there's no midas, there's no Torah. Says Rabbeinu Yoina, very powerful words. Rotzaloima, shetzorech tchilo. A person has to fast lesakenes atzmoi b'midas. As we said, derech eretz kodma la Torah. A person first has to perfect himself in midas. Ubazer tishkoin ha-Torah. Then Torah can reside in him. She'eineno she'chenes lo'oilom. Torah cannot reside b'guf she'enoi baal midas Torah. Somebody who's not a baal midas, Torah cannot reside in him. And Bar Tanura actually adds, what happens to a Talmud Chacham with no midas? He forgets his Torah. A receptacle, to be receptive of Torah, it's not enough to have a good brain, or even to learn a lot. Rabbeinu Yoina is telling us you have to have midas Torah. And if you don't, what happens to the Torah that you have? It will dissipate. It's like pouring water into a bucket with a small hole. It might hold it temporarily, but eventually it'll just all leak out. If the bucket is shored up, then it can hold the water that you pour into it. So a Talmud Chacham, picture the scene, can have spent all his life learning Torah and amassing a huge wealth of knowledge, but because he doesn't have midas, what happens? It just all disappears. So it turns out that as a result of not having midas, he hasn't just remained static. He's actually worse off than he was before, because he had his Torah and he will lose it. A nevela, we said before, might well not be allowed to be eaten, but at least he's no worse off than he was before. He was osa ba'achila, muta ba'hano. He's still osa ba'achila, muta ba'hano. The Talmud Chacham who doesn't have midas, that's what the Medrash means, is worse off than a nevela. Why is he worse off than a nevela? Because he will not even remain static. Never mind, he will not climb, he will not grow in stature. He'll actually go downhill. Because even the Torah that he does have will be forgotten. And in that respect, therefore, he's worse than a nevela. A nevela, when the nevela died, didn't go down in stature, it just remains static. A Talmud Chacham with no midas will actually go down in stature, will lose his Torah. And it is for this reason, we've discussed this on other occasions, that we see that all Gedolei Yisrael without exception, were always exceptional, not only in their Torah, but also in their Midos Tovos, and you cannot have one without the other. In fact, when the Chofetz Chaim passed away, so his great Talmud, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, said a Hesped. And in his Hesped he said, the Chofetz Chaim can be described as a godel be Yisrael. A godel. What's a godel? He said, imagine you would see a giant of a man. He's got enormous height, enormous legs, enormous arms, everything is enormous about him, except, for example, one of his fingers is average sized. It's the same size as everybody else. What would you say about that person, that he's a giant? You'd say the person is deformed. The person is deformed. Why is it that all the rest of his body has enormous size, and yet this finger has a completely disproportionate size? He has a defect. He's a baal mum. He says somebody who excels in Torah and doesn't excel in all areas of Torah and in all areas of Avedas Hashem, he's not a godel, he's not a giant, he's a baal mum. He's deformed. He said, my Rebbe, the Chofetz Chaim, we can truly say, was not only great in Torah, but also in Derech Eretz and in Midos and all areas of Avedas Hashem. So he was a giant in all spheres. So he can truly be described as a godel. He's a proper giant. He's not defected. He's not a deformed person. And that's what the Medrash is really teaching us in this week's Sedra. That a Talmud Chacham who doesn't have Midos should not be considered as, well, you win some, you lose some. At least he's got the Torah. Shame about the Midos. No. If he doesn't have Midos, then he's worse off than an animal, a dead animal, a carcass lying there. Pasuk Beis. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'omarto aleim. Of course, this parasha and these psukim launch the parashiyos of the korbanos. And the Torah writes, Odom ki yakriv mikem korban Hashem. A person who will bring an offering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The word Odom is of course strange because that's not the normal word that we refer to mankind as. Normally we use the word Ish. And you would expect it therefore the Pasuk to say Ish ki yakriv. But it doesn't say that, it says Odom. Which of course reminds us of Odom HaRishon. How does he come into the Pasuk over here? So the Medrash says, Loma Oma Odom. The Medrash asks this question. Why does it say Odom? V'lo Omar Ish? Says the Medrash, Yirtzeleima, the Pasuk means as follows. Ki yechte ha'odom, because when a man will sin, K'moi Odom HaRishon, just like Odom, who of course, Shehischil Lachatoi, he was the one who began the whole idea of chait, he was the first one to be chaite. So if somebody sins just like Odom HaRishon sinned, what should he do? Yakriv Korban, he should sacrifice a Korban. And this Medrash is of course a mystery. Because quite frankly, you haven't really answered the question. The question was, why does it say Odom? What was the answer? Because just like Odom sinned, so if somebody sins, he should bring a korban. So why is that a reason to mention Odom? What have you added to the pasuk by reminding us that in fact it was Odom HaRishon who began chait? What's the Torah teaching us? The Ksav Sefer has a number of different approaches. One approach, for example, he says, what happens if a person sins as a result of having been convinced by somebody else to sin? He was roped into it. So what might he turn around and say? Nothing to do with me. I don't have to do tshuva. I was dragged into this under the influence of somebody else. But that's not true. How do I know that's not true? Odom HaRishon. Odom HaRishon didn't stand up one day and decide to sin. He was also convinced and coerced by combination of his wife Chava and the snake, the Nochosh, and nonetheless you see that he had to be Chayzer B'tshuva. So that suggests that Sa'af Sofer is what the Torah is teaching us, that if somebody will sin, not as a result of his own doing, but by being convinced by others, remember what happened to Adam HaRishon. He was also convinced by others. And what happened to him? He had to be Chayzer B'tshuva. He had to bring a carbon. So too with you. And then the Ksav Sefer adds a stroke of genius, and he says, the Mishnah in Ovis tells us that if somebody coerces a friend of his, or anybody else for that matter, into Avera, then the one who influenced his friend to do an Avera has no recourse of tshuva. Cannot be chayzer b'tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not accept his tshuva. Why not? Say Chazal, because otherwise you're going to end up in the following scenario. The person whom he convinced to do an Avera will be sitting in Gehenna. And the one who got him to do the Avera in the first place was Chayzer B'tshuva, and he'll end up in Gan Eden. That can hardly be fair. Why should the one who only did an Avera as a result of me end up in a worse place than I'm ending up in? So what's going to happen? How can this person therefore ever get himself out of a mess? The answer is, the person who he got to do the Avera, the one who he influenced, if he's Chayzer B'tshuva, then not only will he get himself off the hook, but he'll also get the fellow who convinced him to do the Avera in the first place off the hook as well. So really his tshuva is achieving two things. It's bringing about a kapara, an atonement for him, and the one who caused him to do the Avera in the first place. Says the Ksav Sofer, with that I understand a stira in the Pasuk. The Pasuk begins, Odom ki yakriv likem. Odom is the singular. And how does the Pasuk conclude? Takrivu es korban chem. Sacrifice your plural korban. It should have said korban cho in the singular. Says the Ksav Sofer, but according to what we said before, it's very good. Because we're dealing, with somebody who was convinced by a friend of his to do an Avera. That's why he had to be reminded of Adam, who was also convinced to do tshuva. When he brings the korban for his own Avera, then it turns out it's korban chem, loshen rabim. Who is this korban helping out? Not only himself, but also the one who got him to do the Avera in the first place. That's why it's loshen rabim. The Ksav Sefer alternatively suggests that what is the first thing that normally happens following an Avera? It should be Charata. What happens? The Yetzer Hara kicks in and says, listen, I don't really think I need to do tshuva at all. Perhaps the Avera is not that bad. It wasn't really my fault. It was all the Yetzer Hara. What's it got to do with me? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who planted the Yetzer Hara in me in the first place. Ksav Sofer says, if you look in the Ramban in the beginning of Bereishis, he says that Adam HaRishon, when he sinned, never had a Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara was only planted in him after the Avera. So Adam HaRishon never had this recourse. Adam HaRishon could not for one moment have said, I'm not to blame, it's my Yetzer Hara. He didn't have a Yetzer Hara. So the Ksav Sofer, that's why the Torah is reminding us, Adam ki yakriv, you with your Yetzer Hara, don't use your Yetzer Hara as an excuse. Rather, you should conduct yourself just like Adam HaRishon did, and he was Chayzer B'tshuva properly, without being able to blame his Yetzer Hara. You should do exactly the same. A third approach, the Ksav Sofer says, and this, of course, reminds us, I think, of the famous words of the Ramban. The Ramban famously writes, the whole idea of a korban is that a person really should internalize and understand that he should be the one to be sacrificed on the Mizbeach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Beroiv Chastoi allowed this replacement, allowed the animal to be sacrificed in his place. Says the Ramban, but whilst the dam is being sprinkled on the Mizbeach, what should he be thinking? This should be his blood. And as the animal is being cut up and sacrificed, he should be thinking that this should be him being sacrificed. Adam HaRishon was told that if you eat from this tree, what's going to happen? You're going to die. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nonetheless accepted his tshuva. Says the Ksav Sefer, that therefore is the reference to Adam HaRishon. When somebody commits an aveira, you should know and remember that really, Shuras Hadin is that you should be chayav nisa. But Adam ki yakriv, just like Adam HaRishon, who was also sentenced to death, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Beroiv Chastei, accepted his tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu once again will accept our tshuva rather than sentencing us to death. Those are the three approaches of the Ksav Sefer, why it is that the Torah reminds us of Adam HaRishon's chet. Either that we should always remind ourselves that even an Aveira that happened as a result of being convinced by others needs tshuva, just like Adam HaRishon. Alternatively, don't blame the Yetzer Hara, just like Adam HaRishon couldn't. Or thirdly, remind yourself of Adam HaRishon, who really deserved to die, and nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was makabel his tshuva. The Kliyoka over here suggests a completely different approach altogether. The Kliyoka says, if we go back, right back to the beginning of time, and we recall that Cain and Hevel brought korbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Kliyoka, both Cain and Hevel fell short. Both of them fell short in their hakravas hakorban. How did they fall short? So he explains, Cain, obviously, as the Pasuk describes, did not bring the most choice animal or the most choice product for his korban. Rather, he chose very inferior pishdom, flax, cheap, not expensive, non-mechubad material, and that was his korban. That's where he fell short. He says, Hevel improved on it. He brought sheep, he brought animals. But if you look at the Pasuk, what's the Lashon of the Pasuk in Parshas Bereishis? Vehevel hevi gam hu. What does that mean, gam hu? He wasn't planning on bringing a korban. He saw Cain bring a korban. Baseda, I'll do the same. I'll do the same. Says the Kliyoka, that's where he fell short. Rather than being Ma'orer himself to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the correct manner, he only did so in order to emulate and copy his brother Cain. Therefore, says the Kliyoka very beautifully, you should not bring your korban like Cain or like Hevel. Rather, how should it be brought? Adam ki yakriv mikem. You should bring your korban like Adam. When Adam was created, there was nobody else in the world. So any of his avodas Hashem was self-initiated. It wasn't triggered by copying anybody else, because there was nobody else. Says the Kliyoka, that's what the Torah is pointing out to us. You should bring your korbanos. You should serve your Aser HaKadosh Baruch Hu like Adam, not copying those around you, but rather like Adam, who didn't have anybody to copy from. That's the first limud. And the second limud is, how does the pasuk continue? Adam ki yakriv mikem min habehema. Bring an animal. Don't make Cain's mistake, which was he brought inferior stuff. Therefore, in this pasuk, the Kliyoka says, the Torah is warning us, don't make the mistake of either Cain or Hevel. Don't bring low quality korbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rather min habehema. Otherwise you're like Cain. But don't be like Hevel either. who just played copycat. Rather, initiate your own hisoiris. Use your own koichas for avodas Hashem. Be like Adam. Don't be like Hevel. Conduct yourself like Adam, who was the only person around on planet Earth. He had nobody to copy from. A very beautiful mahalach in the Kliyoko. And finally, the Mahalach of the Be'er Yosef, Sefer we've quoted a number of times, and he says, and with this we'll finish, Dvarim Yisodim, he says, when a person brings a korban, which is, of course, his steps in tshuva, as we know, tshuva necessarily entails charota, regret. What is charota? What is charota? I regret. I wish I never did the aveira. Why do you wish you never did the aveira? So he explains that charota, regret, true remorse, can only possibly come about upon recognition of what the aveira really did. But if you have no idea what you did wrong, then there's nothing to regret, and you cannot, therefore, be mischarit. But if a person stops and thinks, what have I done over here? Look at the cataclysmic consequences of this aveira. As he describes, quoting the Nefesh HaChaim and others, that when a person is choite, he mustn't look at that in a vacuum. But rather, he must realize and understand that that's influenced the whole of the olam. Kol olam kuloi, it's influenced. With that in mind, then you can really attain proper charota. Then I really, truly have regret. I wish I wouldn't have done this aveira, which has influenced all of the bria. And to that effect, the Torah reminds us of Adam HaRishon. Because never was there a better example of somebody whose aveira changed the course of all civilization. There never would have been death in the world. There never would have been work in the world. Mankind would have lived forever in Gan Eden, as Adam HaRishon did. So if ever there was an example of somebody whose aveira influenced all of the world and all of humanity and all of civilization, it was Adam HaRishon. Adam ki yakriv miken korban Lashem. Remind yourself of Adam, because if you don't, then how on earth are you going to have true remorse? And without charota, the korban is a waste of time, because it's not tshuva at all. If you look, actually, at the end of this very sedra, Perek Hei, Posuk Yud Zayin, V'im nefesh ki secheto, if a person will sin va'asasa achas mikol mitzvahs Hashem and will do one of the aveiras that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has prohibited. And Rashi there says, quoting Chazal, Tzei ulamad mi'odom harishon. Learn from Adam HaRishon. He only had one mitzvah. He didn't have tariad mitzvahs. Adam HaRishon was never told to put on tefillin or shake a lulav or keep Shabbos. He was told one thing, do not eat from the Eitz Hadas. Re'ei kamom misos, Rashi says. Look how much death. Niknasu olav uladeirosav. Look at the penalty. Look what happened as a result of his aveira. That should always be our reminder, says the Be'er Yosef. Adam HaRishon. In fact, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu initially created the world, there's a Medrash in Keheles. Mesillas Yesharim quotes this. The Medrash says as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after creating the world, took Adam HaRishon and gave him a tour. Guided tour of Gan Eden. Va'omar lo, and he said to Adam HaRishon, Re'ei, Maisai, look at my handiwork, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kamonoim u'meshubochim. Look how beautiful it is. And everything I've created for you. And then he said, Tein daitcha. So pay attention. Shaloi tekalkel v'tachriv es oilomi. Don't ruin my world. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu mean, don't ruin my world? What, don't chop the trees down? Don't ruin the plants? He meant, obviously, in a spiritual fashion, don't be machriv my world. Because by sinning, as he eventually did, that really is a churban of the world. And with that, perhaps we can understand and answer the question that the Ksav Sofer raised before, which is raised by others as well. Adam is in the singular, but Korbanchem is in the plural. And that's the answer. Because Adam, it's a one person, one time, one man sin. But who's the Korban on behalf of? Who are the sufferers of his one sin? Korbanchem, all of you. And no clearer demonstration of this is if we switch to Parshas Re'eh and Parshas Kisove. We are told there that when Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, what did they have to do? Six tribes, Haragrizim. Six tribes, Har-Evil. Exactly six and six. The Levim in the middle, and they turn around and they say, Oror, cursed is the person who does this Avera, and Baruch is the person who did this Avera. What was this whole showdown about? What was this supposed to illustrate? So the Meforshim point out, the Kliyoko and others, they say, you know, the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin that at every moment you should consider the world in total and absolute equilibrium. Total and absolute equilibrium, which means that anything that you now do will tip the balance for the good or for the bad. That's the attitude, and the Rambam, by the way, paskens this lahalocha. Therefore, everything that you do, you have to imagine as that is, influence the entire balance of the world. And the Meforashim say that's exactly what was happening. You had six tribes on one mountain and six on the other. So it's level. Everything is absolutely equal. Klal Yisrael and the world are in total balance. And now every Avera or every mitzvah you do will tip that balance, as Adam Arishon found out. And therefore we understand the Pasuk. Adam, you in the singular, realize that your Avera can have catastrophic ramifications, such that it will be Korbanchem in the plural. Just like Adam Arishon realized that his one Avera had results forevermore. And the truth of the matter is, if we talk about tshuva, why must we wait till Elul to talk about tshuva? If we talk about tshuva, we're all used to discussions and shiurim and shmuzim about tshuva. And we're very happy to accept. If the Rav stands up in front of the shul and says, listen, you've been doing averas all year, now you have to be chozer b'tshuva and everything will be wiped away, we're happy to accept that. We take that. It wasn't always that way. If you look in Sefer Yecheskel, the Navi came to Klal Yisrael and told them, you'll be over averas and you have to be chozer b'tshuva. The Pasuk describes in the Navi that they didn't believe him. They did not believe the Navi that could be chozer b'tshuva. Kisvurim atem, Rashi says then, Yecheskel Lamed Gimel, shaloi toyel lochem tshuva. That tshuva won't help for you. And the Navi had to convince them. And the Koich ve'oir, Itzel Blaz, who's a Talmud of the Shor Salanta, says, how is it? He says, something doesn't make sense over here. Who was on a higher spiritual standing? Us in Tofshi and Ayin Hay, or Klal Yisrael at the time of Yecheskel HaNavi, who saw the Beis HaMikdash? Obviously they were. And they didn't believe in tshuva. We do. We're absolutely fine with tshuva. When the Rav stands up and he quotes the Gemara in Kiddushin, who says that even if a person has sinned all of his life, but if he does tshuva at the end of his days, he can wipe the slate clean. We believe that. Have you ever seen somebody give a drosha about tshuva and one of the listeners stands up and says, sorry, I don't believe that's true. I've never seen that happen. How can that be? But in the times of Yecheskel, they didn't believe it. They didn't believe it, so how can we do? So he explains there, Dvorim Noiroim. He says the reason why we accept and we understand, or we think we understand tshuva, is because we don't really understand what Avera is all about. They understood what Avera is all about. They lived at the times of the Beis HaMikdash. They saw the divine presence. They saw the Karbonis. They saw the Kohanim. They saw the miracles. They saw the daily Nisim in the Beis HaMikdash with such clarity that chait was magnified in their eyes to the extent that they couldn't accept. They couldn't understand, they could not fathom. How on earth can that be? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will just forego? Will just waive the Avera? Will accept Tshuva? How can that be? We all know the famous words of Rabbeinu Yonah. How does he start his Sefer on Tshuva? He says, the greatest chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us is the idea of Tshuva. Why is it chesed? The reason why it's chesed is because if we'd only understand the gravity of chait, then we would also understand that tshuva makes no sense. Makes no sense. Makes no sense. Klal Yisrael, at the times of the Beis HaMikdash, who had such clarity in what chait was all about, they couldn't accept. They couldn't understand the ideology of tshuva. We understand tshuva because we don't really understand what chait is. But if we remind ourselves of Adam Arishon and the consequences of chait, then maybe it would be more difficult for us to really appreciate and understand how tshuva works. I remember Talmud Chacham told me, he says, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us a very interesting message. He says, I'll give you an example of how crazy, really, tshuva is. We accept it, but you think about it, it makes no sense. He said to me, this Talmud Chacham in Yerushalayim, that there's something that exists and it's called a presidential pardon. Everybody knows about that. The outgoing president, after his 4 years in office, you can apply for a presidential pardon, and the president will overlook any of your misdeeds and release you from jail or whatever it is for no apparent reason. For no obvious reason. They don't convince the president that the sin wasn't a sin, that it wasn't a crime after all. They say it was a crime, but maybe you could commute his sentence, maybe you could waive it, a presidential pardon. So this Talmud Chacham said to me, he said, a presidential pardon is very important for Klal Yisrael to take note of. Because a presidential pardon, if you think about it, makes no sense whatsoever. If this person is serving time in jail, then clearly it's for a crime that deserves to be sitting in jail for. So why on earth should he be let off? Why on earth should he be let off? It makes no sense. So he says, everything that happens in Olam Hazeh is for Klal Yisrael to learn from. A presidential pardon is in some small way a moshul of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed, that he's prepared to waive our avers for no apparent reason. And we must not therefore ever think that once we chayze b'tshuva, well, you know, we deserve to have our avera and the oynash waived. No, it's a chesed elyon of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We accept and we think we understand the idea of tshuva all too easily. But as Reb Itzel Blaser points out, the real reason is because we don't know what chait is. But if we'd only appreciate what Aveira is and remind ourselves of Adam Arishon, Adam Kiyakrev, who needed no reminder of the consequences of chait, because we're still suffering until today because of that Aveira, then tshuva will be much harder to appreciate. And therefore we have a presidential pardon to remind us that tshuva really is a chesed, and it makes no sense whatsoever. We should all be zeicha, mitz Hashem, not to have to be chayze b'tshuva. But if we are over our various chas v'sholom, we should be zeicha, be chayze b'tshuva shlema.
Amen. Amen. Amen.